Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. I'm joined on the line today by Claire Rigby, the freelance journalist, writer and editor based in Sao Paulo in Brazil. On the programme ahead, we'll discover a brutalist background for an exhibition of unruly architecture, some site-specific work from a Swiss artist on Sao Paulo's tallest building, and some truly shit art in a can. That's all to come here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Claire, thanks so much for joining us today. We'll start at Pivo, which in itself is an extraordinary location. Tell me a little bit about this brutalist building.
Yeah, hi. So Pivo is, I think, you know, if you were going to visit just one gallery in São Paulo, for my money, it would definitely be Pivo. It's been open for about 2 years, and the art there is always really wonderful. It's a not-for-profit not really a gallery, but they describe themselves, I think, as an art space. And so often the work is specifically made for this space, which is really just a stunning piece of architecture inside and out. On the outside, it's the Copan building. That's where the gallery is located, which is Oscar Niemeyer's massive, massive, very iconic São Paulo building. There's quite a few Oscar Niemeyer buildings in São Paulo, but this is definitely the most striking. An immense building in the shape of a wave, curved building. Inside, Pivo is huge. It occupies a whole wing of the building, about 3,500 metres squared, I think. And they've done a sort of work of archaeology inside, of stripping back years of mainly neglect. Most of the building lay empty for a long time. Some of it was in use as various things, including a dentist's surgery. So they've been stripping back the building, and they've just taken it right back to its concrete bare bones in, you know, quite an archaeological fashion, really. So, and the other thing about Pivo as well is that it's just a wonderful way to get to downtown, to get into Centro, and a jumping off point for exploring around the area.
And in fact, archaeology is part of it. There's a part of the show called Reflected Archaeology.
Yes, it's a show by the Brazilian artist Tonico Lemos Awad, and Brazilian artist, but he lives in London, where some of this work was made over the past year, most of it purposely for this space and for this exhibition. The piece that's called Reflected Archaeology is a huge, basically a kind of huge expanse of silver wallpaper in various panels, but all together, which is actually scratchable. So you can scratch it off, and visitors are invited to take out a coin and have a scratch. And they've revealed this mural that lies behind the scratch-off surface. And it's an immense mural that kind of curves across one of Pivo's long curving walls.
What's on the mural? What do they get once they've got through it all?
It's a huge photographic collage that the artist has made, which is kind of a mashup of two popular festivals, you know, of one kind or another. One of them is in Belém do Pará, which is in northern Brazil, and that's a festival called Círio de Nazaré, which is a huge traditional Catholic festival. And that part of it, you can make out these beautiful boats. There's a long, long sort of ocean horizon, and lots of lovely boats on it. And then the other kind of festival that's been mixed in with that is in Folkestone in the UK, and it's from the Charivari Parade, which is a sort of carnivalesque parade that they have there. So it's, you know, a vision of faces and people and kind of interesting processions. Yeah, it's quite rewarding, I think, for people when they're scratching their way through the silver covering.
What happens when visitors have scratched off all the silver?
Well, I don't think they're going to be able to get all of it off, because the wallpaper itself, the kind of expanse of wallpaper, is really huge, and it goes very high up the wall. I don't think anybody could reach. So I don't think we'll ever know if the mural continues, you know, all the way across the wallpaper. But for now, most of it seems to be exposed. Somebody from Pivo was telling me that the artist's idea was partly about memory, in the way you know, memory kind of comes through in patches and is never quite revealed, and you're never quite sure what's been remembered and what's been forgotten.
Now, some parts of this exhibition are suspended from the ceiling, and there's also a textile element.
Yeah, there's a whole part of the exhibition which is it almost seems you know, it's quite at odds with some of the other elements, but in many ways is, I think, the heart of the show, and it's actually the stuff that he made in particular site specific for the space. And it's this incredibly delicate artisanal woven hangings, is the only way I can describe them. They're very, very fine tubular structures, you know, just a couple of inches in diameter, hanging all the way down from the ceiling. And they're really, really delicate. They're woven, hand woven by the artist himself on, I think it must be a small handheld loom. They're hanging in a space that's just next to where last year there was a completely different scale, but also a really striking textiles hanging in the same space by the Portuguese artist Joana Vasconcelos. And that was one of her Valkyries, which are huge, huge textile creations that kind of organically bulge their way through the space. So in terms of scale and volume and presence, they're quite different things. But these ones are called, these ones by Lemos Aoud, he calls them seahorses. And if you look closely at one of them, there's a tiny seahorse kind of woven into the fabric of one of them.
That's Tanaka Lemos Aoud at PIVO. Claire, let's move on now to the first solo exhibition of the Swiss artist Meo Buscher. Now, this show, Art Towards Architecture, is another site-specific piece.
Yes, this one is at the other end of the scale of subtlety, because it's really striking, and you can actually see it, part of it anyway, part of this exhibition, for miles. It's an exhibition called Art Towards Architecture by the Swiss artist Meo Buscher, and it's in a brand new, very small, interesting gallery, also in Centro. It's called Lama SP, and the exhibition starts on the basis of a series of photos by the architectural photographer Leonardo Finotti, who's very well known in the circles of architecture and that kind of photography. If you open any magazine, you know, architects like Isai Weinfeld, Marcio Kogan, people like that, often the most stunning photos of that kind of Brazilian tropical modern style of architecture, they're very often by Finotti. But he also has this series of photos that are used in this exhibition of modernist buildings of quite a different kind. They're really functional modernist buildings, office buildings, even parking garages. And the artist Buscher has taken Finotti's images and intervened in them by laying across them this orange netting, quite fine orange netting, of the kind that you use on construction sites, safety netting. Some of them are almost as if the building's under construction still, others it's completely kind of almost covered up by that, and you could just see the building vaguely through it. And but the most striking element of the exhibition is something that Buscher has done on the building itself. So Lama SP is inside a building called Mirante do Valle, which is view down the valley, and it's a massive, massive building. In that it's tall. It's actually the tallest building in São Paulo. A lot of people think it's Edificio Italia, but in fact it's this one. And he's hung one of the strips of orange netting, but on a huge scale. He's hung one of them all the way down the front of the building. And you can see it from all around. Really, really striking.
Mm. What are they saying? Because as you say, you probably see it from miles around. Is it a big talking point? And it must be reaching people who wouldn't normally go and see art deliberately. What do they think?
Yeah, I think it's quite hard for people to know what it is. At first glance, it looks like a kind of sash or something hanging from, you know, from the building. It's up on the 37th floor, it starts, and hangs all the way down almost to the ground. I think perhaps then people might think when they're a bit closer that it might look like actually real construction netting and that there was something going on behind it. it's this sort of orange netting, as with the photos from far away. It just looks like this crimson slash all the way down the front of the building at the end of the valley. It's a really interesting intervention anyway on the landscape there in Centro. It's actually a homage as well. His mother, the artist's mother, and his father also was a very famous Swiss artist, but his mother in particular, Heidi Boucher, had a series of works, and one of them was called The Flying Skin Room, and she made latex casts of the front of buildings, and then I think hung them sometimes even over the front of the same buildings. So that was a homage by him to his mother's work.
Claire, let's finally turn to the extraordinary work of Piero Manzoni. Now, this is at the Museo de Arte Moderna de Sao Paulo. Around 30 works here. He only had 8 years of output. He died very young, didn't he, in 1963. His most famous Dada-inspired work is here.
Yes, he had a very short but very memorable career. He seems like he must have been a real character. He was really creative, extremely intelligent and dynamic, one of the leading lights in the 1960s art vanguard, conceptual art vanguard in Italy. He was a painter as well, and there's a series of paintings here, his best known paintings, which are the white paintings, which are all about texture and surface, painted on canvas and then covered with plaster, sometimes with bits of stone and stuff. The work that he's most famous for is one called Merda di Artista, which is artist shit. And it is exactly what it says on the tin, and it literally is tinned. It's he produced, I think, 90 tins of this and allegedly filled them with his own shit and sold them on the, you know, on the art market and did sell them. And in fact, they can go for very high figures. I've seen where one went for £84,000 at auction, just one of these tins.
How is it displayed?
They're displayed in the centre of the space in a glass cabinet alongside some prints, and there's just a small stack of tins in there. They're quite lovely in a way. The very retro, you know, historic design of the labels. Manzoni himself has signed each one of the tins himself. Part of, you know, his whole point about, I think, inserting shit into the art market and making people buy it and pay for it. And actually on the label it says, in terms of the medium, it says that it's composed of tin and I think paper, which must be the wrapping around the tin, the packaging. And I wondered why it didn't say anything else. I wondered why it didn't say shit, which is allegedly what's inside the tins. But I found out later, I looked it up and found out later that it was revealed a few years ago that the cans don't actually, fortunately or unfortunately, I'm not sure, don't contain shit. They contain some sort of mixture of plaster, which I suppose, you know, is part of his whole joke on the art market. What I thought about in terms of display, which was something I wasn't really sure about in this exhibition, was there's another artwork which is called Magic Base, which is Magic Base / Living Sculpture. And that's a podium or a pedestal that people were invited to climb onto, and it's a really simple wooden pedestal that people would climb up on and instantly be magically transformed into living works of art. Manzoni also actually signed people. I think in 1961 he did a series of artworks, ready-mades I guess they were, because they were just human people, and I think they might have had to have been naked, but I'm not sure. And he would sign them with his signature and declare them living works of art, and declared himself also a living work of art. But for this particular artwork, which is in the show, Magic Base, what I was quite disappointed by was that you're not allowed to climb up on it. So, you know, the whole point of that artwork really is that the person activates the artwork, makes it into this magical base and this living sculpture. And so I asked the curator why they decided not to allow people to climb up on it. And he said, well, it's a historic artwork. You know, he didn't say so, but I guess it's a valuable artwork, and that they've got a duty of care to take care of it, and that people could, people were welcome to stand on it. but mentally in their imaginations. So, but I think that was disappointing, really. They could have probably made, if necessary, they could have made a duplicate artwork and placed it there and invited people to stand up on it. And the whole point really was that rather than being itself a kind of fetishized, revered work of art, that it would actually allow people to become works of art.
Claire Rigby, thanks very much indeed. Piera Manzoni is at the MAM in Sao Paulo until June the 21st. That's all we have time for, I'm afraid. Once again, thanks to my guest, Claire Rigby, on the line from Sao Paulo in Brazil. And that brings us to the end of the show. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. Join us again tomorrow and our weekly music review from Nick Luscombe. Until then, goodbye from me and thanks for listening.